Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to today look at our Bibles, and there's a topic I want to share with you. I've got in my heart a message to share that will bless and encourage you. It's entitled, I Press On. Say, I Press On.
I Press On.
I Press On. Philippians chapter 3, let's start there. We're going to take this text from two versions, New King James Version, and also from the Good News Translation. First of all, reading Philippians chapter 3, and let me go from verse 13, in fact, verse 13 and 14. Paul said this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Say, I press on. Now, verse 14 from the Good News Version says this, "So I run straight toward the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above." Amen. So we are blessed by God's grace in so many ways, so many ways. Got the report again, young ladies whose garage burned down and they lost a lot of things. Their family lost some things. And this is the ideal situation for grace to manifest. First in your thinking, in your attitude. Why did this happen? We don't know why things happen. As Paul said, I don't look behind. I press forward. Because we'll find out sometimes why things happen. But until you find out, don't get stuck looking back. What you want to do is press forward, as Paul said here. And he said, I haven't apprehended, I haven't achieved all, haven't become all I should become, but this one thing I do, I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to reach for what's ahead. Paul said, I press. Say, press. Love that word, press. This newer version said, I run straight toward the goal. I'm not running sideways and looking around and zigzag. I'm going straight forward. Say, straight forward. In fact, you learned somewhere in school what is between two points the shortest distance between two points?
Straight line.
And think about how we have not achieved goals. We've missed out on some things because we just did not go in a straight line. We got distracted on the way. We began in a straight line. We began pressing, but then something happened and we turned right and left. You know, the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land should have been about 3-4 days. It took them 40 years to get there. Well, thank God it's New Covenant now. Amen. We can get there quicker if we will simply allow the Lord to do what he does best. That is, give us grace for every day. Amen? Amen. And so when I say the phrase press, on the surface it feels like hardship and difficulty. It sounds like, oh man, some more hard stuff I got to do. No, don't take press. Don't take the phrase I press on as some other difficulty and hard stuff you got to get to and do. Think of it really in the sense that I'm going straight ahead. And that means I'm going to correct my focus. I'm going to look in the right direction. A lot of what happens today in terms of defeat and difficulty, a lot of this stuff for us, we just accept defeat. We give up before really making the effort. Or we do things that are, we self-imposed defeats. That is, we just set ourselves up to fail. We just talk ourselves out of stuff. And we look so strongly at what's wrong, we just can't see what's right.
Amen.
I I'm not saying you look away from what's wrong. Just don't dwell on it. Amen? I mean, how many times you got to watch the bad news at 5 o'clock on TV? You heard it. You heard it. You heard it. Now, I'm going next channel, next channel, next channel, newspaper, online, blogs. You know what I'm saying? You've studied the bad news. Yeah, we see the bad news. We pay attention. But don't dwell on that. Because there's a solution God wants to give you. You won't see the solution if you're not going straight on. Amen? So then, if you look in detail at everything surrounding your task and your assignment and your job, you know, God gave you things to do, your job, your business, your assignments and tasks, ministries. I mean, if you looked at in detail at everything surrounding your tasks and your job, you would talk yourself out of doing it. If you consider all the difficulties and challenges, you know, dealing with employees and clients and accounts receivables and you got people and you got, if you dwell on all this stuff, you will talk yourself out of pressing. You can't press and examine everything in detail. I'm not saying we don't have a plan, we're not strategic. I'm not saying, because God, there's faith in planning. There's faith in a good plan. But even your best plan cannot be perfect. You can't anticipate everything that's going to happen in and around your plan. The plan will get you through, but you have to still have faith in God and keep pressing so you can see the solutions to the problems when they arise. Even the best plans will have some problems. But if you're problem focused, you can never see an answer. One reason you read the Bible and you study and pray and worship God is so that His word is in you. You hide the word in your heart. And so that when you have a problem, you have questions, then you just have to just meditate and think on God for a while, and up from your heart will come scripture. Answers come up. A person who's well-trained in any field, in engineering and teaching and nursing and all these things, I mean, all those folk, when they face a challenge, the answer doesn't come from nowhere. The answer comes from the treasure they have stored up in their hearts. So what happens, see, if you're problem-focused, you can't get no answer from the problem. If all you see is a problem, how deep is the problem, I mean, how bad it is, and all the stats about the problem and all this stuff, there is no solution in all the stats about what's wrong. The stats illustrate what's bad. I get that. But now I'm looking for a solution. And that comes from people who spend time in the Word, learning and reading and dwelling on things that make a difference. So God's Spirit has something to pull up. So in order to press, we need something within us to help us to press. Amen? Amen. Through the grace of God. You got that point. Amen. Now, another tactic we sometimes have, if we're not talking ourselves out of stuff and being problem focused, sometimes we're looking for a shortcut. That's a tactic. Short, like Cliff Notes. Remember Cliff Notes? The book is 300 pages. 300 pages. That's too much book to read. I'm going for a shortcut. I'm going to get the Cliff Notes. Cliff Notes was a publisher who would, they read the book and put all the main points in a small book. So I'll read the Cliff Notes version of the book and then take the test, do the report, and so forth. Now, come on, y'all. Teachers are smarter than that. They won't give you no question from Cliff Notes. They're not going to give you anything you can answer from a shortcut. See, my point is, shortcuts make you feel good, but you cannot succeed and sustain excellence on shortcuts. There's no way around doing things the right way. Amen, somebody. You don't have to go around the other way. You can, through the grace of God, you can press. You can press into excellence. You can press into doing things the right way. There's one way to do things the right way. The right way. Amen? And there's no need not to go that way because you got grace to press. The fact is, other tactics are going to fail in the long run. You'll be found out. You'll be found out. Nowadays, if you write a paper, you copy and paste that paper all together, that won't work either. They got computers now that they submit your paper to this network, this system, and it scans the whole paper, and it finds the matches. It'll find a match where you paste it. You can change two words, it'll still find it. So, you know, all that hassle of copy and pasting and shortcutting, you could have done it the right way the first time. Besides that, you will have learned more. And you can live with yourself. Now, testimony, last Saturday, we had a men's meeting at my house. And we had a great time, and, you know, guys came. And so we had prayer time, is our custom. Afterwards, each one had their own prayer requests around the table. So I shared mine. My prayer requests, I said, you know, this is not deep and spiritual, guys. I said, but I got to sell two cars. We got a new car. We got two old cars, and I got to sell these cars. I want to sell these cars. We prayed a simple prayer to sell these two cars. My Lincoln is the one, the big black Lincoln, and Pat's Honda. And so those cars sold in 5 days. They sold. They gone already. I thought, wow. I'm so glad I asked them guys to pray. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could have prayed that, but it's something about when you come together and you pray in agreement. See, that is part of pressing. It's doing things that aren't as easy. It's easy to go off in the corner and pray by myself. It's a little more involved with getting other folk to pray and asking for help and offering yourself up. I need help. I need prayer, brothers. Those guys prayed. And both cars sold, and we got another car, paid cash for another car. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. But then, listen, y'all, the car, that the Lincoln that we sold, we couldn't find one of the keys for it. That's the problem. You know, we just sold the car. We need two key fobs. And so, looking for the key fob, my wife had drove the car, and she had a key in whatever lunch pail or something. And she was shaking it out, and the key fell out. Just fell out. Thank you, Lord. It's a blessing to know that the grace of God provides for everything you need. If you've got, listen, y'all, if it's in your heart to press, to run straight forward, that releases God to help you in many different ways. Sometimes you can do something for God over here, but this over here happens. I mean, sometimes the way God works, it isn't related. I mean, you just being faithful in this work, and then God shows up over here.
That's right.
You just happen to be operating in the kingdom principles. You're just walking with God, and God's just doing things he wants to do and you need him to do. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says here, you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one wins the prize. You must run in such a way that you may be victorious. Everyone who enters an athletic contest practices self-control and everything. They do it to win a wreath that withers away. But we run to win a prize that never fades. See, I'm running for Jesus. I'm running with him. See, I'm running straight ahead. See, I press. And that press is not your human effort. It's pressing into the grace of God. Pressing into the grace of God. And so he says, everybody running in a natural race, only one wins the prize. 10 runners, I got a picture. Opening graphic, go back there if you could, please. It shows a track you know, but the track's going through hills and mountains, you know. I mean, the idea is this is no sprint. Amen. The race you're running is going up and down, around, and through life. And so it might be exciting, you know, the first, you know, 100 yards, but excitement goes away, but you still press. Stay in the lanes. Keep on running because God's with you. Amen. Amen. So he's saying here in a race, all the runners run, but one gets the prize. But in the race that we're in, everybody gets a prize. Everybody wins. With Jesus, if you simply just press and run straight ahead, everybody wins. Say, I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
Amen to that. Now, let me share this with you. Perseverance and sticking to it and going straight ahead, yeah, obstacles arise. You won't get to go right through life with no opposition. But if your mindset is, I'm going to be determined and I'm going to press, then you're in the right position to go right through. It's in human nature. If you let God work with you, it's already in you to press. It's already in you to go straight on. Sometimes you just have learned to stop doing it. Somewhere on the line, we've been trained or discouraged about going forward. We just stop. Some resistance come up. We just stop. We just give up. I want to encourage you today not to give up.
Amen.
Like Paul said, I press on. I press on. Say, I press on.
I press on.
Amen. That's good. Let me give you now two words here, motive and motivation. Let's talk about what's behind pressing on and going straight ahead. First of all, the word motive is the reason for doing something. Why do you do what you do? And second is motivation. And motivation is the desire or the willingness to do something. See, it's possible to have the right motive, but not have motivation. You know what it is you should do and want to do, but you lack the motivation to actually persevere to do it. Now, I want to encourage you that, see, God gives us through his spirit, we receive the right motives. Our character in Christ is operating in good motive. But willingness, which is motivation, is something you have to decide to do. And you must understand that when obstacles come and trials come, you have to, you know, press, run straight ahead to achieve your motive.
All right.
Now, it's possible to have a good reason to do something, but you're unwilling to do it. See, nobody can help you with that. You can't get prayer for that. Pray that I get motivation. I can't pray for your motivation. I can pray that you open your heart to God, but I cannot pray that you will do what you should do. That's your decision. That's your decision. And so then, but having the correct motive is a good start. But the motivation is where we walk with God. We have to understand that we fellowship with him. We let the word work in us to build up our willingness. You can develop that in the grace of God. You believe that?
Amen.
So necessary. So necessary. And in a world today, we live in a world where people you interact with have all type motives and motivations. I mean, here you're operating in a motivation and a motive that says, I want to do the right thing and help somebody. But sometimes folk around you are looking at you as, okay, you got this motivation and motive, I'm taking advantage of you. So what to you is an act of kindness and support for others is a way to get over. Now, you'll see that sometime. And I say to you that when you see that, listen, y'all, people who serve God aren't dumb. And God isn't telling you to keep allowing someone to get over on you. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before the swine. Now, hear that correctly now. He's not just calling people swine. The point of that is not calling folk pigs. He's saying this. Folk don't appreciate what something is. So the pearls to some people is nothing. It has no value to them. That's the phrase's meaning. casting pearl before swine. That is, do not put in front of people or give the folk things they don't appreciate. Once you find out they ain't ready for that, don't give them that. Work with them other way. Help them understand and appreciate valuable things. Because see, God is not a God of waste. God don't want you wasting stuff. I mean, we help people come by the church. We help lots of money over the cash and food and things. Folk have come by the church and changed their name. Same person, different name. Weren't you Bob last month? Just say, see, I mean, we're not dumb. Christians are not dumb. And listen, y'all, and most of us weren't saved our whole lives anyway. Come on. You can't con no con. Come on. You ain't getting over on me. You don't know who I am at all. But the point is, so then we're not helping people trying to play us. We help a lot of people. But you can't come and demand, give me $700. If you're really serving God, give me this money. Are we serving God? And we ain't giving you no money. You hungry? You want some food? I don't want no food. Well, then, yeah, we're done, aren't we? I mean, listen, y'all, you're in a world of people with bad motives and motivations. But don't let it taint you, and don't become blind. Don't end up wasting what God has given you with folk and situations that don't deserve what you're given. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Hear that right. Don't lose the spirit of giving. Don't stop helping people. You may get burned sometime. So that happens. But don't act like, you know, I'm going to give everybody who asked me for something. Because folk may take money and go buy booze with it. How's that good? You got that? So I press. See, this is all a part of pressing and going straight ahead, getting clear in wisdom, getting clear in our approach to people, and doing things the way that would please God the most. Thank God for that. Now, let me give some reasons why people do what they do. Reasons for doing things. First of all, there's human and divine reasons. Human reasons for doing things, people do it for money, for notoriety, for the praise of others. They do it to receive a benefit from others. Scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back, or a sense of debt. So these are part of the motives of people sometimes. Now, it isn't our motive. I'm not saying that you don't work expect to get paid for your job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who just, you interact with somebody or you yourself are envisioning doing something, but really in your mind, it's a hidden agenda, and it really is just about I want money, notoriety, praise of others, and so forth. But the divine reasons for doing things, two things, love and purpose. Say love,
love.
Purpose. I couldn't see any more than that. I could not see any more than that when it comes to doing something from the right motivation, from God's motivation. I do it for love. I do it for purpose. Now, it may bring money. It may bring notoriety. Those things may come. But those aren't the reasons I'm doing it. You follow me? Please understand that. Look at Philippians chapter 2. This says it very plainly. Verse 3, Good News Bible says, don't do anything from a selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves. Yeah. Certainly you may be better off than somebody, but you value people no matter where they are in life. You value people. You may find out the people aren't ready for something you have to give them, but you still value them. Listen, y'all, you value a person so much, you won't do something you shouldn't do at this time for them. Because it won't be appreciated. But help them learn. Help them to appreciate it. So when you do it, then they in turn can do the same for somebody else. We got to be wise with people. People need our wisdom, not just your stuff. Amen. Folk need your time. Folk need your attention. Not just the things you have that, you know, take this and be gone, you know. No, we got to help people, help them for real. Amen? Even though sometimes you're getting more trouble helping somebody. The Bible says, Paul said one verse, he said, am I your enemy because I told you the truth? Paul said that. Sometimes the folk you tell the truth to get mad at you, like your enemy. I just told you the truth. Sometimes that's the price you pay for helping folks. They get mad. But see, if we're serious about pressing on, this is a part of our assignment, is to sort these things out with folk. Now listen, God himself, look at John, well, you know this, John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now there is God's motivation, love. Why did God send Jesus? Love, purpose. God didn't need anything from us. He didn't then, he doesn't now. Even if God, when God saves people, when he saved me, he didn't save me to get a preacher and a writer and a graphic person and all this. You know, no, he didn't save me for all that. He saved me because he loved me. Amen. He just loved me. Amen. Had purpose. And so, God don't need certain people because they got money, they got fame. God loves everybody the same. And folks should serve God because he loves them. And we should love him back. See, as Christians, we help each other out and we serve and we help you support the ministry and so forth, honor each other. This is all good. But we do all of it for love. We do it for purpose. The people in this church who are givers and tithers do not get preferred seats. And folk who give nothing, they got their own nothing seat. We don't do that. You can sit anywhere you want to sit. We'll pray for you and love you. If you give and don't give, we will serve you. Because we're not paying attention to that. Primarily, we're paying attention to what God said, love, purpose. Now, what happens, though, yeah, we should step up and support and do what's right. Because you got to answer to God for what you're not doing. Not to me, but to God. And so then, when you're pressing in your life, when you're pressing into and going straight into God's will for your life. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. In every area of life. I began sitting down last week, and every now and then, I'll go through my, all my tasks and assignments. I'll lay it all out on paper or write it down and put it on my computer for family and ministry and business and all these things. And I go through all of it. And then I put underneath that everything I'm doing under that. Everything, every assignment, everything I sense I should be doing, and just see, where am I coming short? And really, what can come off this now? what can come off of this? What task? What is it I'm already finished with or shouldn't even pursue any further? I mean, when you're pressing, you care about these things. So that when somebody says, hey, they call me, hey, Brian, let's go over there. I'm not going over there. Well, why not? It's not my purpose. It's just not my purpose. It's a good thing. I can't do everything, so what should I do? Amen. I got to go straight forward, and I might zigzag following you around. Amen, somebody. I can't zig. I'm too old to zigzag now. When I was young, zigzag a lot of time is zigzag. I'm just, hey, zigzag, zig, zigzag there. In my 20s, you had time to blow it and fix it all up again. But at a certain time in your life, I don't have time to blow it and fix it up again. I want to do it right, which means I'm not pulling away from, I'm actually getting closer to people, not further away. It's just that you have to be clear on what you're pressing toward. And when you're clear about where you're running straight toward and pressing, man, life gets clear. Things get very clear to you. And you're more effective helping people as well. Amen, somebody? Amen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we help each other not because we make one dependent on the other. We just help each other for love and for purpose. It says here, here's how we approach this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called and have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There it is. Fight the good fight of faith. When you're on the right path and you know God's in it, it takes faith to know that and faith to stay in that. You got to fight sometime. You got to fight the good fight. You got to fight mostly your own thoughts, distractions. You're not fighting people or even the devil. You're really fighting against all the stuff in your mind that's pulling you away from God. So we want to then fight a good fight, lay hold on eternal life. Now, it's not saying we're fighting to be saved. The real sense of it is take hold on the benefits of eternal life. So those who are saved here and Christians, take hold to the benefits of being a follower of Christ. Take hold to that life. Take hold to it. You don't work yourself into getting it. You already have it. Now that you have it, take hold of it. Amen, somebody? Amen. Take hold of it. And to the purpose to which you were called. Now, look at Philippians 4. Here's Paul's statement of how he pressed on. We read this earlier. Here's the whole statement of how Paul pressed. I want you to see here Paul's motive, his motivation, and his focus. Let's read this, Philippians 4, down the screen, so you can look at it in your Bibles. Philippians 4:10, he said, "For I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you certainly did care, but lacked opportunity." See, Paul is saying, as an apostle and church planter, that he received support from those he helped. He served. They helped him financially and otherwise. And so that had dropped off. So Paul was saying, I rejoice that your care for me has flourished again. Verse 11, very important perspective, though. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am in, to be content." Listen, y'all, you never get a letter from Paul like this. "Paul, if I don't get this much money, I can't make it. If y'all don't give this money, I'm not going to survive." And so put the handkerchief in the envelope and anointed oil. He won't do none of that stuff. Paul won't do anything. See, Paul, he's pressing. Hear me now. People who press are appreciative for support, but they do not look to people as the source. That's kind of hard people to understand that sometimes. Paul is saying, "I'm glad you're helping me. If you didn't help me, God's going to help me. I'm glad you got involved with that. That's good for you. And I'm pleased." But Paul is saying, "I don't speak in regard of need. I've learned, whatever my state, to be content." Paul said, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound." Paul saying, "I know how to have little. I know how to have a lot. I can handle it. I'm not looking at that stuff as my source. That's a supply. I don't rise and fall on supply level in my own heart." Watch this. He said, though, "Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full, to be hungry, to abound and suffer need." See, Paul said, "I've been through all that." So when I say thank you for helping me, it's not that I'm putting pressure on you to do something. He said this. He said, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." See him pressing? That's the motivation. He's pressing. He says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians," say "you Philippians." Philippians. This is context, all right? He's talking, you can't take the verse I'm coming to and claim it. Can't do that. He says, "You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me," nobody helped me, "concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even at Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." He says, verse 17, "Not that I seek a gift." I don't seek a gift. I don't say this to get money from you. He said, "I seek fruit that abounds to your account." There it is. See, when you support and give and do what you should do, you're helping yourself in the things of God. You're helping yourself in the kingdom. You're bringing favor from God on your own life. Amen. And so he says here, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Verse 19. Now here's a verse you cannot claim. This is not your verse. And my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You can't, that verse is not for you. It's for the Philippians. Who's it for? You can read it. You can say amen to it. But if you're not doing what the Philippians did, that's not for you. Amen, somebody. Now, if you are a giver and you share and you do tithes and offerings, you're generous, then yeah, that the principle of the verse is for you. But the exact verse is not for you. It's for the Philippians. In context. But the principle, I'm saying what? The principle will work for you if you're doing what they did. That makes sense? Amen. People love to claim verses, man. The Bible wasn't written in verses. The Bible wasn't written in verses, y'all. You know that? So stop reading. Stop claiming a verse. Claim the word. Amen. Claim the life. Claim Jesus. Press. Go straight ahead. Get this verse in your mirror. You don't even give nothing. You don't tithe. You don't give. You can't. Oh. But see, I say all this. I don't say it for a gift. I say it because I want fruit to abound to your account. So then when you're pressing, these are things that the Philippians understood. Paul understood these principles. And so because of going straight on, man, Paul got to a place with being full and abounding. Even though he could have had more if more folk contributed, yet God, you know, saw fit, and the Philippians saw fit to do their part. That's how we operate, people of God. Amen? In this church, that's how we don't do any scams and schemes. We just believe God and ask people to do what they should do. If that's not enough, then it's not enough. Just, you know, we should do it God's way. Amen? Now, say, I press. Now, love is the greatest motive and motivator. This is my final point for today. Love is the greatest motive and motivator. Like I said, you can do things by human effort or by human motivation and motives, or do it by divine or godly motive. And love, then, is God's motive. We read John 3:16. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll read this from the Bibles as well. It's down on the screen. So get your Bibles. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 1, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. See, Paul said, if I was operating in spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues of men and of angels, if I could speak in languages supernaturally of people and then speak in God's language, if I could do both of that but did not have love, I am just noisy. He said, two, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith, I can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. The motivation. See, Jesus says there will come a time when people say, Jesus, in the judgment, Jesus, we've done this for you. We've cast out demons and preached for you. And Christ said, I never knew you. I don't even know who you are. How can he not know somebody who's doing stuff? Because doing stuff doesn't mean anything without love. Without love from God and love to God and love for others. Why would he say, I don't even know you, depart from me? And we did all this for you, Jesus. Because the motivation was wrong. You follow me? The motivation was wrong. He says, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Here's motive, motivation. Love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not speak of its own, is not provoked, easily provoked, one version says, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. That's how we press in love. We press forward in love. We do everything from love. The question comes up, we ask you, why are you doing that? makes me feel good. That's the wrong answer. Why do you feed those people and help those people down there? Makes me feel good. That's not the right motive where God's concerned. You don't do things that make you feel good, because when some folk turn on you, you won't feel good anymore. And so your ministry starts and stops. You're going and it's gone, because I'm not happy. I'm not happy anymore. Now, my opinion of happy. Now, my opinion of happy. I don't care about happy. I am happy. I sold my cars. I was happy. And a guy gave me several thousand dollars cash money. Oh, I was happy. But then last week I wasn't happy. I mean, happy comes and goes. You can't live by happy. You just walk by love. You walk by purpose. When happy stuff come, let it come. When it go, let it go. Don't live by happy. Say, I won't live by happy. Happy. I know happy is good, y'all. But please don't make happy your aim. You'll stop doing some important stuff. You'll stop doing things you should do and being connected because you say, I'm not happy. Don't go with that. Because love isn't happy. There it is, right there. Write that down. Love is not happy. You know why? Because love is love. Happiness fails. Doesn't it fail? Yes. Doesn't happy fail? Say amen here now. Yes. Anybody happy all the time? Raise your hand. No hands went up. If you're happy sometime, raise your hand. Yeah. What's it saying? Love never fails. So do what? Walk in love. Live by love. Amen. Say, I press.